Hey, gang, let's play it smart out there tonight. I want to see a lot of work from you guys. Put your heads on the ice out there, will you? Guys, we all know how to play hockey. Just play it smart.
That's right.
Get up there and stick them. Fuck them, Christ, pop them.
Right here, Cheryl, let's go.
Come on.
Come on, Bob.
What the hell are you wearing? Like Big Bird side dicks.
Watch out for that first step, it's a doozy.
It's got a death curse.
How about you?
Good.
Hey, that Schwartz be with you.
Check it out. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Flick Magnet, the podcast. I am your host, Jay.
I'm Bob.
And we are here for Season 2, Episode 2, Slapshot. 1977 Slapshot.
And we keep going backwards.
Yeah.
Backwards in time.
We just did a... we did 2000 was the last one. Before that, it was this year, 2023.
Yes.
Your favorite movie, Totally Killer.
Ugh.
Damn, we killed that movie on the recap.
Go listen to the recap. We murdered that thing.
Yeah, we changed a few of our ratings on some of the past movies,
and then we locked them in. Can't be changed again.
Went up on a few.
Went down on a couple.
Yeah, it was fun. Can't wait to do season two recap. Electric Boogaloo. All right, so what's new, Bobby, Robert?
Nothing much. I mean, we're coming into the holiday season. Happy Honda Days, everybody.
Happy Honda Days.
And, you know.
And also, if you didn't know, Wawa's got pizza.
Wawa's got pizza? Wawa's got pizzas?
I'm going to say it like the
yeah, give me the Philadelphia guy.
Wawa's got pizza?
Pizza? It's like
Go Eggles.
Go Eggles. I was just going to say, go
I want
birds.
Some Beggles. And some Eggles. It is the worst accent in the entire world.
Is it?
Yes.
Philadelphia?
There is this fucking guy on the Hawk 105.7. I forget his name. It's a stupid ass name. And he's got it so bad. I want to punch my radio. It's terrible.
Yeah, I love that show. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, fantastic
show.
That show
is hilarious.
It's a great show.
Flip, Philadelphia.
That's so fucking awesome. All right, so with that said, let's hit the freaking trailer.
I'm placing a personal bounty on the head of Tim McCracken.
You can't put a bounty on a man's head.
I just did.
Go get him, killer!
It's wild. It's outrageous. It's outrageously funny. Paul Newman, Coach Reggie Dunlop in this supercharged world of hockey. Invite you to meet the crazies who make it that way. The Players. Murderers Row. The Wives. The Fans. The Managers.
We're losing!
Teamwork, guys. More teamwork.
They're burying us alive!
Who are these guys? They brought their toys with them!
And hustling of all, Paul Newman.
Oh, you are very clever.
Leave him.
My wife left me. I was driving her crazy.
Get out!
You can't make him win. You're a losing coach.
Okay, guys. Show us what you got.
Behind the comedy, the sex, the wild excitement. This is the absorbing story of one man fighting to hang on in a world gone absurd. There's never been a film like Slapshot. There may never be another.
Hey, there you go.
Wow, that trailer abruptly ends.
Just, all right, guys, now.
All right, so that's the trailer for 1977's Slapshot. Directed by George Roy Hill, writing credits, Nancy Dowd, starring Paul Newman, Strother Martin, Michael O'Keefe, Jennifer Warren, Lindsay Caruso, Jerry Hauser, Andrew Duncan, Jeff Carlson, Steve Carlson, and David Hanson.
So you got any history of this movie?
Everyone said it was a good hockey movie, so I went and bought it and watched it.
Yeah, I don't have much history with it.
I don't have, barely any history. As a matter of fact, I couldn't find my copy of the movie, so I rented it.
I just bought it.
For $3.
I bought the Blu-ray.
No, I mean, I already have it. I don't want to buy it again, you know?
Yeah.
Now, Paul Newman freaks me out, man.
Why?
Well, I work in a grocery store. I work for a grocery store.
Oh, because his fucking weird face.
His disembodied head is on so many products.
He's like, I'm still here, motherfuckers.
It's like buying Margaritaville items knowing that Jimmy Buffett is dead. You walk up and you go, hey, a Paul Newman pizza. And there he is staring at you right in your soul. And you're like, this guy's been dead for like 10 years.
And Jimmy Buffett's been dead for 10 minutes.
Did you notice all the, if you go down the aisle with all the salad dressings, if it's Caesar dressing, he's got a little wreath laurel on his head.
Oh, yeah. They decorate him.
They decorate that dead bastard up real good.
It's like Ted Williams' head. They probably decorate him, too, for Christmas and stuff.
Yeah. They put lights on the freezer?
Yeah.
All right, let's get some beers.
What is the malted liquor? What gets you drunker quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer.
Can't get enough of it.
Beer.
How we really love it.
Beer.
Makes me think I'm a man.
Beer.
I could kiss and hug it.
Beer.
But I'd rather chug it.
Beer.
Cut my belly out to here.
Beer.
I could not refuse a
beer.
I could really use a beer.
Beer. Beer.
Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer.
Mo, give me a beer.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bob.
All right. So this week we have For the Story, Indian Pale Ale by Icarus Brewing. It is a 8.3% alcoholic beverage.
It is a heavily oated Northeast Imperial India Pale Ale, copiously dry hopped with Lupulin Citra, Columbus, and Lupulin Mosaic, and then double dry hopped with Dragon. Part of all proceeds from this can go towards first responders, charities, and memory of those who have lost their lives in the line of duty.
It's got dragons in it.
Dragons?
It's made of dragons? Are we going to be chasing the dragon?
Icarus has dragons?
Wawa's got pizza?
This is for you guys, all the first responders. I struggle to open my beer. Right. I've never had this before.
It's got a nice smell.
It's Icarus. Did you say it was Icarus?
Yes.
Maybe our favorite local brewery.
It's right up there with Heavy Reel. They're both like 1A, 1B.
Taste the citrus. It's a little fruity.
I taste the oats.
It's good. This is a good beer.
I like it.
What do you expect from Icarus? Nothing but good beer?
I can't remember the last time I didn't enjoy a beer from Icarus. And it had to be one of the drinking for breakfast beers I don't like.
That one sucked, dude. Yeah. I did not like that at all.
But I want to say, 9 times out of 10, their beer is always good?
Yeah, 90% of the time.
Bring back the pina colada.
Even the... Oh, God. Maybe when they reopened that massive building they're building.
Oh, yeah, the Fortress of Solitude in the middle of Brick.
Fuck, dude, what a upgrade, huh?
Oh, yeah. He'll be able to actually mass produce his regular lineup and not have to be like, well, when am I going to get yacht juice again?
Yes, I have my own lawn business, and my favorite local brewery is being built next to the garden center where I go to. Yeah.
And those guys from Jay's won't have to walk very far to get some beers to drink.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yes.
Why? They do a good job. They're allowed to have a drink, allegedly.
They don't hide it.
Yeah, they don't hide it.
If is
the owner there all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's in there allegedly enjoying beverages
and
having a good time with his employees.
Yes, they've been there a long time. So have his employees. Been there a long time.
I mean, if you treat your employees right and, you know, you let them allegedly drink some beers on the job, I'm sure you'll keep them forever.
It's light beer, so, yeah.
And not when they walk over to Icarus.
No.
Can we just open up the back gate and you just deliver it to us?
They bring over a keg and tap it. All right, so because this movie was made in the 70s, you all know what it's like. The language was different. Here's a warning. Warning. This movie is from the 1970s.
That's me.
And they use language that some may find offensive. We quote the movie to show context of the time. If you can't handle that, well, you've been warned.
You can't handle the truth!
All right. Ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
What do you think of that warning?
That's a proper warning.
I threw it together yesterday. All right, so we start off with the Charlestown Chiefs goalie explaining the rules of hockey to TV host Jim Carr.
Very badly.
Very badly, and with a heavy French accent. He tells him and shows him what slashing, high-sticking, and hooking are. He tells him that that's against the rules, so if you do that, then you go sit by yourself for 2 minutes and you feel shame.
Yes, you feel the shame.
And then you're free. Cut to the arena as the Chiefs are being introduced as they come skating out one by one. The fans yell shit to each person that comes out. When Reggie Dunlop comes out, some guy yells that he stinks. Left wing, number 10, Ned Braden. I hate you, Braden, screams some chick. Right wing, number 14, Jean-Guy Drouin. The woman shouts, frog pussy.
That made me laugh so hard.
And then the national anthem plays as the credits roll and the camera shows us the organ player. So Dunlop and the other team's center meet up, and the other guy tells Reggie that he's drunk, and the coach keeps playing him. He says if anyone boards him, he's going to piss all over himself. They drop the puck, and the game begins. The Chiefs go down immediately as Jim Carr starts to interview one of their injured players, defenseman Dave Carlson, up in the press box. Carr says that Dave injured his knee in the Peterborough game. Dave says, no, I didn't. I have a cold. I went out to start my car in that storm and I forgot my jacket.
And he got sick. Hilarious.
He's got the sniffles, so he's not playing. I think it might have settled down in my kidneys, he says. This guy is not one of the tougher ones. Or is he? Ooh. Back on the bench, Reggie tells the boys about the drunk center and about pissing himself. If he gets checked, just then they change lines and Braden checks him against the boards and tells him to get off the ice before he gets killed. And he pisses himself.
Yes, he does. He pisses all over himself.
He looks drunk, too, by the way.
Yeah, he probably is drunk.
It's the 70s.
You got a method act. Method actor.
Like Nick Cage does. Yes. Often. He did that for that. What was the movie where he was an alcoholic?
Leaving Las Vegas.
Yes, Leaving Las Vegas.
He won an Oscar for that movie and then made a lot of shit movies ever since. Well, that's what happens when you spend all your money, go into massive debt, and then your agent just gives up on the world and said, here, the checks keep coming, keep taking these roles.
He won an Oscar while acting drunk.
Yes.
Suck his dick.
You ever see that movie?
Yeah.
That movie's really good.
Nick Nolte gets a lot of shit. Nick Nolte. Nick Cage. Gets a lot of shit, but he's a good actor when it comes down to it.
Francis Ford Coppola's nephew?
And Nickelback is a good band. Period. Thank you.
Look at this photograph.
Then the players after the game are modeling suits as one of the players says that he looks like a cock-sucking, we warned you,
yes.
Faggot.
Yes, he says the word faggot.
This is bullshit, as the owner, Joe McGrath, asks another player, Johnny Upton, where Dunlop and Braden are. Johnny tells him that he's going to whip his dick out and flash everyone if he has to go out there and model this faggy robe. McGrath calls his bluff and starts to make a phone call. As Johnny goes out there, and all of a sudden, you hear women screaming and running.
Joe McGrath here, just checking on Dunlop.
That sounds like cheering to me. Hey, woo! My subtitle said cheering, so they must be really enjoying seeing this guy's dick.
Yeah, so, I mean he's swinging it around like Ric Flair.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
He's helicoptering down the stage.
So I'm assuming they lost. It was like 4-1. Bob, did you pick up on anything?
No.
I think they lost.
Yes, they're not good. From what I can
not right
tell,
now.
This team is not very good.
No. So, now Dunlop and Braden are being interviewed by Jim Carr as they are taking calls from the fans. First caller is a disgruntled lady who calls Reggie an old fart and says that he should retire. This bums Reggie out for a while, even to the next scene. He's like, that fucking bitch. What the hell?
Why would you say that to me? That's not nice. Yeah. That's just how the internet is nowadays.
Yeah, it is. It's sad. Hard cut to the same two guys, Reggie and Braden, walking outside the mill as Braden tells them that 10,000 workers have been placed on waivers. Reggie's like, what the hell are you going to do? Every sucker for themselves, I guess, says Braden. Reggie then goes back to the rink as he asks McGrath what's going to happen to the team after the mill closes. He tells Reggie, don't worry about it. And the new boys are coming in on the 415 bus and go pick them up. Reggie doesn't like this and storms off as Joe is selling off all the team stuff over the phone. He's like, yeah, I got a sauna. Yeah, I got some sticks, helmets. What do you want? I got it.
Yeah, he's even trying to sell the bus.
Yeah, that was it, the bus.
They're trying to sell the bus out from them. If you didn't know, this is supposed to take place in Charlestown, Pennsylvania. They're in Pennsylvania in this movie.
Okay.
It makes sense later because they end up going to Lancaster. So it's,
there you go.
It would make sense if you're driving around on a bus.
Right. So Reggie is now at the bus station and is looking for the new players. He doesn't see them until he hears loud banging as three nerdy brothers with thick horn-rimmed glasses are beating the shit out of a vending machine.
Nerdy? I was thinking more of very special ed individuals.
They looked on the spectrum?
They looked very much on the spectrum.
Yeah.
With those, and those glasses were
still
thick.
Does, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, they can't not live the gimmick now.
I just watched it was some YouTube video. I think it was number 17. I don't know his name. And it was, they were at the town, like IRL in real life, you know, because this rink in that town, this is what they're known for.
Yes.
Is this movie.
It's this movie.
And they are holding on to it for dear life.
Oh, with both hands. They're trying to choke that chicken real good.
Damn, dude. How tight do you hold your dick when you do that?
Depends how much you're getting paid for it.
You're going to get burned. You get some chafing. Then you can't do it for a while.
Sometimes that's the price of the price you pay.
You don't want to be on the jack-off DL. It's not a good place to be.
Giving yourself a rusty trombone.
Yeah. Shout out, Biz. Reggie asks if they're the Hansons. They say they are. And one says, the machine took his quarter.
Yeah, they're beating the shit out of a Coke machine in the middle. And all the people in the lobby are staring at as they're beating this Coke machine.
Don't care at all.
And look at this nice old-fashioned Coke machine.
Probably filled with glass bottles.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Which they probably need for their new glasses.
Oh, those glasses are thick.
So Reggie introduces himself as their coach. They go to leave as the one brother takes one more run at the machine and it gives back his quarter. Like, hey, guys, I got my quarterback. So Reggie drops them off at their boarding house as they tell Reg that they're from the Iron League. Reg's like, a lot of fights there, huh? Nah, says one of the Hansons. He then yells at the brothers that he wants a soda. None of that damn root beer.
Yeah, the root beer.
Root beer.
What's wrong with root beer? I like root beer.
Yeah, root beer is awesome.
Root beer is really good. You ever have that dad's old-fashioned root beer?
Yes.
That's good stuff.
It's very good. Did you know Barks has Bite?
Yes, Barks does have Bite. Bite.
Watch out for that shit.
You know A&W has some good restaurants?
They do?
Yeah. A&W actually has a restaurant chain.
Did you know AEW is a falling wrestling company?
Yeah. They don't have stars. They have falling stars.
Yeah, they do. God, they stink now.
What happened?
Oh, anyway.
Do we need to do an episode of Backyard Wrestling? What the hell is going on?
Do we revamp Backyard Wrestling? And just change the format totally and we just shit all over it?
We just shit all over all wrestling?
All of it. It all sucks.
Yeah, there's nothing good.
Reggie then sees that their suitcases are open and it's filled with toys. He's like, what the fuck? Reggie goes back to the McGrath and confronts him as he's locking up his office. Reggie says, you cheap son of a bitch. Those guys are retards.
He says retards. Hard R.
Joe says that he got a good deal on them. Scout said they show a lot of promise. They brought their fucking toys with them!
Yeah.
Shouts Reggie.
All their freaking little race cars.
Joe then tells Reg about a guy who used to coach who was a terrible masturbator. The guy would take deliberate penalties so he could get in the box.
And yeah, and he's making the noises and he's shaking, imitating that guy's just there spanking the monkey.
Kind of like David Cohn did in the bullpen.
Allegedly.
I think he did that. Cut to the team unwinding at the local watering hole as Brayden's wife, Lily, is complaining about being in this town as she drinks from her flask. Brayden asks her sarcastically if she wants a beer to go along with that. I would have been like, yeah. A chaser? Sure. She tells him that he's turning into a zombie. She says that their parents would give them a job. She just wants to get out of this shit town.
Do you blame her? It is kind of a shitty town.
It's a shit town.
It sucks. Everyone's
town blows.
They're losing all their jobs at the only factory in town.
10,000.
Yeah, that's bad. It's
very bad. Brayden takes a swig of beer and slams the van keys down and says, "You take the van, I'll take the dog."
Ah, deal. I'll take the dog every day of the week.
Right? She says that he's bullshit and storms off. Reggie turns to the goalie Lemieux and asks if Brayden is nice to his wife. Lemieux says that, yeah, he loved her. He told me he loved her. Reg says that maybe Brayden's a faggot. Ever think of that? You crazy. He has a big cock like horse.
Yeah. Well, when you get in the shower, what are you going to do? Look at the guy's dick.
I would.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
Didn't you have an argument that you wanted to see Shaq's dick?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I want you want to see it?
It's not an argument.
Yeah.
It's just a fact of life.
How big do you think that dick is?
That's why I want to see it. It must be monstrous.
It's got to be like a club. Like he could club a seal to death with it.
It must be like Gary Coleman's forearm, if I'm guessing.
Oh, God.
Then in walks a couple of hotties, and Reggie bets Lemieux that he's going to take the woman in the red dress home with him. Dennis says that he's not his type. No way. How much? Ask Reg. Dennis says, $5. $5, she doesn't even look at his face. Reg gets up and heads over to her and extends his hands as the two go over to the dance floor and start dancing. Then the barkeep says to Lemieux that he's been had. That's his wife.
Hey, that's my wife.
That's my wife.
Whoa.
Hey, you. Get your damn hands off her. Come on.
God, back to the future.
Yeah, there you go. They go back to her place, and she basically tells him that he's fucked after the mill closes because he can't have her, and he's not any good at being a coach.
That's right. You damn. Suck. Your team sucks. Therefore, you suck.
Maybe you're the killer because that cut deep. Cut to the team loading the bus to get ready for a road trip as everyone stops what they're doing to stare at the Hanson brothers as they make their way to the bus.
Like, who the hell are these freaks? They're ugly. One guy's like, yeah, look how ugly they are.
Yeah. Brayden gets up and goes up to them and says, hey guys, are you brothers? Then old man McGrath makes his way onto the bus to everyone's surprise. What's the old man doing here? Everyone says. While on the bus, the boys are playing poker, and someone raises an interesting question. Who owns the Chiefs? Reggie can't answer and says, corporations. Who cares? You all get your checks. Cut to the boys in the locker room as one of the guys, who is going through what looks like a game program, and says that he's here. Oglethorpe. Ogie Oglethorpe? Reggie grabs the program and says that they ought to throw this guy in San Quentin.
That's a prison.
The character Ogie's based on a real-life dude.
Yes. There are some real menaces in those minor leagues back in the day.
I had Ogie Oglethorpe as my Facebook profile pic for a while.
Nice.
Back in the day when I had my hockey team, the Ice Hounds.
Yeah, speaking of hockey, before we started watching this movie, I was cleaning out one of my desks. You know what I found? I found a hockey puck bottle opener.
That's cool, man.
It says New Jersey Wales on it.
Ooh. Was that like a minor league team?
That's the travel team out of the old...
That's right.
Ice rink over there.
In Brick.
I don't think they exist anymore.
They don't.
Did it close? The ice rink close again? Or is it...
No. I think they sold and it's like under new management and they're doing like great things.
Yeah, I hear... That's great. I used to go into the pro shop in there and then just buy random crap out of that place.
Yeah, back in the day, it's where I got my first... pair of Vic hockey pants.
Nice.
Not a company anymore, Victoriaville. Remember them?
Yes.
My Cooper skates. Not a company anymore.
Not going to make hockey equipment anymore. But they had some nice toques in there, and you can find some interesting like hockey hats. I think I have a Hartford Whalers hat from out of that place.
Nice. You know, I didn't know that the H was in the middle until like like somewhat recently.
Really? Was it one of those pictures that like just shoves it in your face? Yeah, here's the edge.
I didn't know until I bought a shirt.
They had one of the best goal songs ever.
Really?
Yeah, it was called Brass Bonanza. You gotta look it up. I think it's great. Maybe you can look it up and play us out.
I'll play it in post.
Play it in out as we're leaving. Yeah, it was good.
Oh, that's a good idea, Bob.
Yeah.
We'll do that. All right, so now we see the Hansons wrapping their fists with tinfoil as Reg walks over and asks them what the hell they're doing.
We're putting on the foil.
That's right. You want some? Reg walks back to Braden and says, they don't leave the bench.
Does that actually help?
Oh, it seems stupid.
Is it to protect your knuckles as you're hitting someone? The foil? I figured the foil would chafe a little bit.
I don't know. I've never heard of that. I've only seen it done in this movie.
Yes.
Never anywhere else.
They're putting on the foil, and all I can think of is, remember back in the day, peeling off the foil off the gum wrappers and sticking it on your books?
You never did that?
Yeah, well, back in the day, when they still wrapped everything in like the foil, you could peel the foil off the wax paper. And I would, instead of having a book cover, I would line a book in friggin' foil.
I remember trying to set those on fire.
They do light on fire if you try hard enough.
Yeah, I did that.
Every little thing's on fire if you try hard enough.
Yeah. I heard honey is flammable. I've yet to try it, though.
Nature's napalm?
Maybe. All right, so Braden then gets up to get some tape and hears McGrath talking on the phone. How he would like a job at the front office as Joe closes the door for privacy. Then Reggie tries to pump up the boys as the Hansons also try to pump them up.
Hey, gang, let's play it smart out there tonight. I want to see a lot of work from you guys. Put your heads on the ice out there, will you? Guys, we all know how to play hockey. Just play it smart.
That's right.
Get up there and stick them. Fuck them, Christ, pop them.
Right here, Charlotte, let's go.
Come on.
Come on.
Let's go now.
Let's go.
We need this win, you know. We got a lot of losses.
Come on, start winning. Go to the top, not the bottom.
That's what we're here for, guys, to win. Play heads up out there. I mean, let's be smart. Man for man, we're better than any fucking club in the league. And let's just put our minds to it.
We're number one. We're number one.
Come on, Braden, our line's there.
Come on. Let's go.
It's fucking embarrassing.
It's fucking embarrassing. Cut to the game, and the Chiefs are already down 3-0 in the first period. Sorry, make that 4.
Oh, they're terrible.
So Reggie's line comes back to the bench after a shift, and Reg is trying to pump up the guys, and Braden says, what's the point? The team's folding after the mill closes. And he heard the old man is trying to get another job. Reggie storms off the bench and into McGrath's section of the locker room, as McGrath tells Reg that this is the last season and it will be announced tomorrow. Cut to the guys at the hotel room as Reggie gets a call and goes to meet this person. But as he leaves, he walks past the Hansons' room. They have the door open and Reg pauses, then backs up. Wait a second. What was that?
Wait a minute. Hold it.
He says to them, brought your cars with you. Well, we are on the road.
Idiot.
Oh, they're playing slot cars.
Is that what that was?
That's a slot car in their hotel room.
They brought their fucking toys.
And apparently, these toys belonged to one of their brothers.
Really?
Like their kid brothers, yeah.
I should have sampled that. That would have been a funny thing to keep playing. They then say that they are ready to go. Just say the word, coach. Reggie's like, yeah, I'm shuffling some lines around. I'll let you know. Cut to Mrs. fucking Parker. In bed with a man under the covers, pleasing her.
Here we go.
Under the covers, he's pleasing her. She says that he's the first man she slept with since I left Hanrahan.
Oh, God.
She says that she's been sleeping with the women. Reggie comes up. It's Reggie. And we see Mrs. Parker's boobies.
The moves go bouncy when you dance. Worthy of a second glance.
Thank you.
Yeah, I definitely paused it and went, whoa, 70s tits.
Oh, I paused it and just looked for a while.
He went to the penalty box.
And I said, those nipples are so pointy. You better be careful. You'll poke your eye out, kid.
They are so large. They look like someone took one of them little tiny marshmallows painted flesh color and then stuck them right on the end.
Yes, they look like exactly what you just said.
Big banana tits with marshmallow nipples. Doing a nice, throw a little ice cream, get a banana split on there.
Yum, yum.
Boobies.
Boobity, boobity, boobs. All right. This was a big deal for me the first time I saw that because I have a crush on Ralphie's mom.
Yes, I remember you saying that.
Yes.
And then you got to see your titties.
And now I felt like she cheated on me.
And now she's dead.
Now I hate her. Let's move on. She asks him if he's ever thought about sleeping with a man. Ooh. He says no, but he gets why she would want to try it with a woman because women's bodies are beautiful. Men's bodies are hairy and fucking gross. That's why, and that makes perfect sense.
But she's in with Reg, so she's bisexual. She likes both.
That's fine. She then tells him how it happened, but it's irrelevant because we just saw Ralphie's mom's boobs. I don't care. We saw her boobs.
I don't know. Boobs? Boob Bowl Saturday?
Is that a woman?
Yeah, it's a woman.
It's clearly a woman from the 70s. Banana boats.
Titties.
Banana boats. So she goes on and says that when Hanrahan, that's a weird last name, Hanrahan, found out about it, he went crazy. He said, if you're a dyke, that makes me a queer, and then he slapped her around.
Well, I don't think the transitive properties of gayness works like that.
No.
I don't think.
It does not.
Because your
you
wife.
You fucking psycho.
Because your wife slept with another woman. I am now gay.
You fucking. What? That comes up again?
Yes.
Later on? So that was clearly a way of thinking in the 70s. Fucking people from the 70s, your brains are fucked. God damn.
Well, they just got out of the 60s where they were fucking their brains up with drugs.
That's true. All right. So he slapped around. She says that she ended up in the hospital. She says that she's actually on the lam. She's hiding out from Hanrahan and his hands that are angry hands.
angry hands, Hanrahan.
Reggie tells her Whose
hands?
My hands. Reggie tells her that they're playing him soon. They talk a bit more before getting back to making out. Anyway, great 70s tits by Ralphie's mom.
Sexy time.
We just spent 5 minutes talking about great 70s tits.
Worth it.
Worth it.
So now cut to Reggie at Dickie's house, the town reporter, and Reggie's telling him that some investors in Florida, a retirement community, are buying the Chiefs. Well, he's trying to sell him that shit anyway.
Yeah, he's making this shit up big time.
Yeah. Then one of Dickie's kids comes in and says this.
Daddy, he called me a pussy and then he charged the station.
Don't bother your daddy now. Just go work it out amongst yourself.
I love
the brother.
Yeah. Baby.
I'm watching what I want, pussy. I'm changing the channel.
Yeah.
And his little, that girl was what? 6?
Yes.
Maybe 5 or 6. Comes into daddy's dining room and says that. He's like, go work it out. Go work it out amongst yourselves.
Once again, it was the 70s. Let them figure it out themselves.
I mean, I was just a baby in the 70s, thank God, because fuck. Hard cut to the next game against Long Island as Reg is trying to get it under the goalie's skin. Oh, the goalie, by the way, ready? Hanrahan.
Yes.
Ralphie's mom's husband. Reggie skates up next to the net and says, Hanrahan, Suzanne sucks pussy! He skates away and comes back at him with, Hanrahan, she's a dyke! I know! Hanrahan stares knives through his painted old-timey goalie mask.
You can see this guy starting to freak out.
You can see the evil that is oozing around him. Reg skates by and says, she's a lesbian! A lesbian! Hanrahan leaves the net and charges after Dunlop as the Chiefs score and win the game. Hanrahan goes at Reggie as they drop the gloves, as does everybody else. Reggie gets escorted to the bench as Hanrahan gets free and dives into the bench after Reggie.
And you see the skates flying.
Yeah.
And you just see the refs going, whoa, no thanks.
Yeah, you got to watch those skates near people's heads.
Yeah, seriously.
Or else you'll get arrested for murder.
Well, it is
manslaughter.
It is England. They did arrest that guy while he was fighting, you know, in the wrestling ring.
We'll pause for a second here. If you don't know about the guy that got his throat slit playing ice hockey
in England,
what rock are you under? If you've seen the video, have you seen the video?
I've seen the video.
Doesn't it look like he tries to kick him?
He's got his foot up in a dangerous manner.
I've never seen anything like this before in my
life.
That
is not a hockey play.
It's not. It looks like he's trying to kick.
Jeremy Roenick even called him to get arrested for murder. I usually agree with the dog, and he was right.
I didn't want to be that guy. That I first saw that, I was like, I don't know. That looks weird.
His excuse was, oh, he had his foot up to try to get him to slow down coming into the neutral zone. But you don't do that. Instead, you hit them.
Even people that were saying, like Witt, when he saw it, he said, he's not saying he did it on purpose, but it's fucked up.
Yeah. So it's it's manslaughter. It's not murder, because murder's premeditated. But if a reckless death, it's manslaughter.
I agree with it. I don't know where you are on that.
I 100% gets arrested. And a lot of people are going to say it's a race issue because he's African.
I didn't even know it was.
I didn't even know he was. I just saw the hockey play, and I just see Adam Johnson get his freaking throat cut.
Can we stop that? Someone's dead. All right?
It's manslaughter. He should be arrested. But over in England, when you get arrested, they don't always prosecute. It's weird.
Now, we mentioned the other show we used to do. I got really angry one time when we were doing news. There was a guy in wrestling. If you punch somebody for real, or you're little, you don't hold back as much. You're being stiff.
Yes,
is what they say. And that's basically what happened in this match. The guy's nose got broke. It happens. Happens all the time. This guy went to jail.
Yes,
for that in England, and I lost my mind over it because it was insane.
There were a couple instances. There was a guy who accidentally broke his nose, and then there was another incident with a guy. Basically, turned into a shoot fight. Kicked the guy in the face so hard he broke his jaw.
Also, happens all the time.
It happens a lot. But, a broken nose and a broken jaw are two separate things.
Yeah, but this guy's dead.
Yeah, he's dead. Up. And this guy deserves to be arrested for it.
He deserves some culpability from what happened.
That was not a hockey play. You're going to have a million experts all over the internet saying, oh, he was off balance. If you're off balance that bad, you don't belong in professionals.
Like I said, you and I combined between us, there's a lot of years of watching hockey. Ever seen anything like that before?
I can't skate worth a shit. I can't. That's why I never played ice hockey. I played a lot of street hockey.
I've played ice hockey my whole life.
I can't skate for shit. You could skate pretty well.
I skate very good. I've been playing my entire life. I've never seen...
Have you ever thought about, in the defensive zone, throwing up your foot at the opponent?
No. You know what happens when you're falling? How do I not hurt myself?
Yeah, you're...
I don't want to get concussed. And miss games.
Yeah, when you're falling, your natural reaction is for your legs to go down. It's not to fly up.
It's not to kick. That's a kicking motion.
He had a kicking motion.
Ah, God damn it.
It's the hockey movie. We're going to talk hockey.
It's going to happen. Sorry. Not sorry. All right, so where were we? Oh, yeah, Hammer Hands going fucking ape shit. So in the locker room, the Chiefs are celebrating their victory as they ask Reggie what he said to piss off Hanrahan. He tells him that he called his wife a dyke. And they're all impressed, except Braden, who says that was some wrestling shit out there. Yeah, nice segue. That was a garbage win. He's not wrong. It kind of was. Now we're at a park, and Lily's watching Braden flirt with some woman across the way next to that dog statue.
Yeah, I thought it was that dog statue.
We'll get to that.
You know what that dog statue is?
Yes.
I gotta pet that dog. You ever see that video? Can I pet that dog?
No.
You got to look it up. This little girl, she's from Texas. She goes, can I pet that dog? And that dog coming up to the porch was a black bear.
Oh, shit.
And it just she just gets louder and louder and louder. Can I pet that
dog?
And
she's not with us anymore.
Oh, no. Her parents were like, no, you can't pet that dog.
That bear's like, ooh, lunch. So Reggie comes over to chat with her. Lily asks what the deal is with that statue of a dog. Reggie tells her that's the dog that saved Charlestown from the 1938 flood. She says, well, fuck him.
Whoa!
She says, Reg then tries to get her to come back to his place, but she walks off, shooting down his advances. Now, this is a common theme. He keeps trying to fuck Braden's wife.
Oh, yeah. He wants to bang this guy's wife.
Now, is he just a fucking scumbag, or is he trying to get Braden to be so pissed off he goons it up?
I don't know. This is where some of this movie kind of falls apart, because it gets very convoluted
but
at times.
But at the same time, throughout this movie, Reggie's also trying to get his wife to stay with him.
Yes.
So, what?
I want to think he's trying to bang that guy's wife.
It doesn't make sense to me.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
God.
God damn it. Come on. All right. So now the team is at the bar, and one of the players is reading the paper, and he finds an article about a Florida retirement community who's interested in buying the Chiefs. Seed planted. In the locker room, Reg is talking to Carlson about how this is his last season. He knows people make fun of him because of his age. Carlson's like, nah, man, you're not, no. Now on the ice, what's it called? He's gaslighting him.
Yes.
Right?
That's a very modern term that we use.
Yeah. So now on the ice, Reg is starting some shit. He tells Minnesota's captain that they dropped him. It's all over the hockey news. He's like, I've got a contract. The guy says that Reg is too old to play this game, as this sparks up Carlson as he takes down the captain as we get another brawl.
Yeah, he definitely wound him up to get him
Reggie's
going.
Reggie's a fucking dickhead.
Oh, yeah, he's a manipulative fuck.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
He's a Mike Babcock.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me your phone.
Yeah, I want to see naked pictures of your wife. Give me your phone.
Son of a bitch. Now Carlson's getting stitched up on the bench as he's a bloody fucking mess. The Minnesota captain skates by as Carlson jumps off the bench and goes at him for round two. Reg is pleased with the reaction of the crowd as his plan is paying off. He wants his team to get angry.
Yes.
And just fucking be goons.
Get mad. Get angry.
So they can win some games and maybe get sold to another place.
Yeah, he's trying to get...
He doesn't want to stop playing.
No.
Yeah.
He's trying to get interest, so he knows in order to get interest, this team has to be good.
Yeah.
They have to win.
I've been thinking a lot about getting back into it and playing.
Yeah?
Yeah. But I decide not to. I would get hurt. I'd pull my groin. I'd break something.
Ow, my groin.
I did. I pulled my groin all the time.
Oof.
It sucks. I played so much with a pulled groin, I lost count, but still scored. Not a big deal.
Nice. Well, usually you like it and your groin pulled.
Usually. Depends who it is. If it was you with your grip, no, thank you. Back in the locker room, Reg is giving a pep talk as Dave Carlson is getting stitched up. The Hansons call Dave a killer. The room goes along, yeah, he's a killer! He's a killer! The guy with the mustache, I think it's Johnson or whatever his name is, says, Dave's a mess.
Yeah.
He's not a killer.
Not a killer.
He's a mess.
You look at him, he looks fucked up.
He's fucked up. A lot. Reg then gives Hansons the green light. They're in the game. The Hansons take the ice, and the shit show begins.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. They're hitting everyone that moves. They're tripping goalies, high-sticking, jumping over the net, trying to get to the guys. Tripping the referee, and then, my favorite, they skate by and hit the entire opposing team in the head with their hockey sticks.
I liked when he tripped the goalie, went behind the goalie and ripped him up by the skates.
Everything.
Yeah. Insane. I want you to hit everyone. Anything that moves, you hit it.
Oh, they did. Then one of the Hansons takes a slap shot and it hits the Oregon player in the head, possibly killing him because that was pretty hard. Then the Hansons start another brawl as the ref throws them out. The fans love them as they leave to a standing ovation. Back on the bus, Reg is telling them that the beer is from the owner. Everyone is happy that he's spoken to him because when Lemieux tried to find out from McGrath who the owner was, all he got was, owns, who owns the Chiefs. And I don't know. That's what he got. Reg says that the new owner is a neat guy and he's trying to get them bonuses. Lies. Everyone is happy about this except Braden. He's not buying it. He shouldn't.
No, not at all. He's not stupid, this kid.
So the team is doing so well that now they have a booster club. And the bus pulls up next to their bus. And they're taking pictures, shaking hands. And some of them are even dressed like the Hansons.
Some of them have some really nice titties.
Nice boobies.
Mostly women, that booster club.
It's okay.
That's a good thing.
That's fine. A far cry from the reception they got in the beginning. Bob's going to say words. I'm going to grab a beer.
I'm going to say words.
Talk about girls with big boobs.
There is the one set of twins that are very much interested in one of the guys. But yeah, the booster club pulls up and they are all hanging out of the side of the bus.
Making banana splits and whatnot.
Damn, you really like this beer.
That's what it means. Can I have another? I hate it.
Well, sometimes even if you hate it, you gotta drink it. It's like bad pizza.
That's true. We had great pizza tonight.
Where'd you go?
We got a grandma's from La Fontana.
That place is really good.
And I got a buffalo slice.
Nice.
Yeah. And I wanted to talk about this. I tried something new on pizza. Mustard, yellow mustard on pepperoni pizza.
That sounds so weird.
It was delicious.
Yellow mustard, though?
I know.
I hate yellow mustard.
Well, then you might not like it. But out there listening, if you like yellow mustard and pepperoni pizza like I do, it's really good. I highly recommend it. Also, I don't eat pizza anymore without putting hot sauce on it. I literally, Bob, I put hot sauce in all of them. Every meal I eat, hot sauce is on it.
I have Cajun seasoning I put on top of my pizza.
Okay, that's good. I also smother it in red pepper flakes.
I love red pepper flakes.
Yeah. That's Pizza Talk here on Flipback the Podcast. Now it's game day as the Chiefs are taking on the Peterborough Patriots.
Any relation to the Peterborough Petes?
Maybe. So it's warm-ups, and both teams are skating as the Hansons make eye contact with some of the other players. Like, eyeing him up. Nothing happens. They continue to skate around. But this time when they cross, they jump them.
Oh, yeah.
And now both teams are lined up, and the national anthem's playing as the camera is on the ref. He's pissed.
You see the Hansons in the background, and they are covered in blood.
They are bloodied up.
Broken glasses.
Yeah, they're fucked.
They're goons.
But the ref can't help himself, and he skates right up to them, giving it to them. He says if they pull any shit, he'll suspend them. Then number 17 says, I'm trying to listen to the fucking song! The ref realizes that the national anthem's still playing. He turns back around.
Yeah, he gets all flustered and turns around. It's pretty funny.
So on that video I told you I was watching about the Hansen guy in the town, he said that scene that we just described took weeks because the guy couldn't stand on skates. It took him that long to that many takes to get him to be able to do that move.
The ref guy?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it took a long time to finish that.
Ice skating isn't easy.
No, it's not. And it's... Unless it is. So for me, it is. What's that thing called? AMR?
Oh, ASMR? Bentley. And she just does.
That's good shit, man.
Fucking goosebumps.
Woo! The Chiefs win. Wait, hang on here. This is for you. Here you go.
Bust a nut.
The Chiefs win, and when they come out to the bus, the bus driver is smashing it up with a sledgehammer. Braden says, what the fuck are you doing? Making it look mean. Now on the bus, Dave decides that he's going to change his name to Killer. And Braden tells Reggie that he's not going to goon it up for him. Reg says, oh yeah, I'll bench you. Then the booster club catches up and then they pull over and let them get on.
Yeah, let them get on. Let's see the girls.
Let's see those titties.
Give me them 70s tits.
They get to the next town, and the townspeople are protesting the Chiefs. They're calling them goons, and they don't need them here.
Yeah, you're a disgrace to sports. We don't want you in our town.
Then as the bus passes them all, you see all their bare asses sticking out the window.
Yeah, the booster club and the bus and the team bus are mooning the crowd.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely mooning them.
I see the bad moon rising.
CCR?
Yeah.
I see trouble on the way.
Good tune.
All right, cut it off.
Come on, come on.
Cut it off. Let's cut it off.
We're going to pay off. We've got to pay off. Here it comes. There's a bathroom on the right. That's one of those songs that always gets brought up in like misinterpreted lyrics. Misheard lyrics. There's a bad moon on the rise. There's a bathroom on the right. Now you guys know.
Blinded by the light. Wrapped up like a douche in the middle of the night.
Like a deuce. But I hear douche all the time.
Yeah. Well, it was written by Bruce Springsteen, the biggest douche on the
planet. Billy Joel wrote that.
No, Bruce Springsteen wrote that song.
Well, it's douche then. It's official. Next up is Hyannisport, as we see that the Chiefs are down 7-1 or up 7-1?
Up 7-1 at Hyannisport.
Yeah, Hyannisport. With just 10 minutes left in the third. So the crowd's giving it to the Hansons. And then, after they make it 8-1, one of the fans who was talking shit throws his car keys and hits one of the Hansons in the face.
Yeah, he whips car keys in. That looked like it hurt.
Another brawl. They get into the stands, and Hansons just keep punching guys in the face.
What are they, Milbury?
Yeah.
Where's the shoe?
Or Ty Domi. They're punching random guys in the face as the other brother says, no, that's not him. It's the other one.
Just starts beating people up. Yeah.
Then Lemieux tries to climb the glass, but some lady smashes a beer bottle over his head and says, go fuck a moose, Froggy! The other team just watches back in the locker room. The cops come for the Hansons, and they take them away. Now at the cop shop, McGrath is trying to get the sheriff to lower the bail, but he's not budging, so Braden pays it with the card winnings that he's won while on the bus. Oh, by the way, the bus driver is wearing a Nazi SS helmet when they get back.
Oh, yeah, he's got the swastika. Where are that helmet?
Yes. Got the spike in the middle, swastika on the top. So Reggie is at McGrath's office, and he's reminiscing about the old times. You know, like the time McGrath was dressed like a chick in a black bra with tassels? Reggie says that he screamed at him when he wouldn't stop coming on to him. Reg says that he doesn't care anymore who's a fag. Who's the owner, Joe? Who's the owner? So Reggie calls the owner, assumingly, but gets no answer. He blackmailed him.
Yes. You blackmailed him. Hey, remember that time? Yeah, you came on to me up in the room.
Yeah, you fucking homo.
You were all dressed in women's and a tight thong. And yeah, he blackmails him and give him the answer. Because nobody knows who the owner is.
Or who owns the Chiefs.
Who owns the Chiefs?
Owns.
Owns. They all figured what? They were owned by the corporation, the factory corporation.
Yeah. And they're, well, what the shit they're trying to sell them is that a retirement community bought the team. Okay.
Yeah.
Because old people love hockey.
They like pickleball, apparently.
Which is weird, because that's you could get injured.
Or you could die like Matthew Perry. Should have been David Schwimmer.
You son of a bitch.
Nobody likes David Schwimmer.
That's true. God damn it.
Are you crying? Are you crying?
No one would cry over David Schwimmer.
David Schwimmer. He was the voice of the giraffe in Madagascar. The one who was really, really, really annoying.
Pivot.
You know, the gym. So he then tells the boys that he's off to do an interview with Jim Carr, and it airs at 4. Don't miss it. So during the interview, Reggie places a bounty on the head of Tim McCracken. Arr-gar-gar-gar. He's the coach and the chief punk on that Syracuse team. $100 of his own money to the first of his men to really nail that creep. Then Reg goes home for a little pregame nap. When the phone rings, it's McGrath. He yells at Reg that, "You can't put a bounty on a man's head!" "I just did," says Reg. He tries to get his nap in, but keeps getting interrupted. First Joe, then Killer calls him and says that he wants that bounty. Now Lily shows up with all her stuff, as Reg told her to leave Braden and to come be with him earlier. Reg tells her that he has to get some shut-eye before the game, as her giant St. Bernard lays on Reggie's head.
That dog
Reggie's
is
bed.
Massive.
That's a big dog. That's Cujo.
Cujo was a St. Bernard, right?
Yes. Very big St. Bernard. Very scary St. Bernard.
That movie freaks me out, man.
Cujo?
Yeah.
Oh, we got to do it. It's got what's-her-name, E.T.'s mom. Now we're at the rink as Reg walks in as the organ player is wearing a helmet now. He starts playing Lady of Spain. Reg climbs up the ladder to the organ booth and rips the sheet music and tells him to never play that music again. Then the Syracuse team comes in and McCracken walks up to Reggie and says, "Hey, Dunlop, you suck cock." "All I can get," says Reg with a smile. It's now game time and Braden is about to face off against McCracken, who asks him about the $100 bounty. Braden's like, "Someone's going to come for you, but it's not going to be me."
Yeah, I'm not interested in this shit.
Yeah. Braden takes the puck up at the left wing and cuts in and beats the goalie to take a quick 1-0 lead. Then McCracken skates full speed and boards Braden and then holds his stick up to his face. But Braden doesn't do anything. The crowd is booing now and throwing shit on the ice.
"You're a pussy."
Yeah, pretty much.
"You suck."
Braden gets to the bench and Reggie calls him a chicken shit coward. Braden's like, "I just scored a goal, you fucking asshole." Reggie says that they don't want goals. They want blood. Then Killer Carlson jumps onto the ice. And him and McCracken square off with their sticks.
Oh, remember old-fashioned
stick fights? Yeah, kind of like in Youngblood, remember?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I read Gordie Howe's book. And yeah. Gordie Howe talked about how they used to stick fight in the NHL. Imagine in the NHL, you're stick fighting.
That's insane. They're trying to kill each other.
They're trying to hurt each other. You got to read Gordie Howe's autobiography. It's outstandingly good.
Damn. So on the bench, Braden says that we win because he scores goals. Reg says that we win because I make them crazy. Reg then says that he's benched until he starts playing his way. Reg calls Braden the biggest pussy in the league. "That's right. I like pussy." That's not what Lily says. Braden punches Reggie in the face, causing him to start leaking.
He also starts smiling like, yeah.
Yeah, he storms off to go up to the booth. And like, Reg's like...
Yeah, finally, he's getting it. Yeah, yeah.
So Reg goes up to the booth, and we have this.
"He's coming to the booth. Ed, come over here. Sit down. I noticed a slight discussion down here with Reg Dunlop. What are you doing up here? You been benched, Ed?"
"Yes, I'm real first in my professional career. I've been benched."
"Why is that?"
"I won't fight."
"Well, you could play if you fought."
"Let's just say I'm chicken shit."
You can't say that on the radio.
"Tell me, why would someone with your family background and education still be playing hockey?"
"You went to Princeton, apparently."
"Oh, you do?"
"Yes, I do. I'm also having a lot of problems at home."
"Well, you are?"
"I just said I was, didn't I? They're primarily sexual problems. I'm very perverse."
"Holy
shit. Come down
to
the ring. Wipe!"
"Oh, this is Jim Card.
We fight day and night. She wants me to quit hockey, go back home." "It's me, I noticed her. She's the only good-looking piece of ass in Charleston. Charles has a drinking problem, and at this moment, I have no idea where she is.
Give me that goddamn mic.
Why do you wear that rug? It's just sensationally ugly. Going bald, Jim. Can't you face up to that?"
"Well, at least I'm not chicken shit like you."
Nice.
"What you're hearing is the truth. Jim Carr got angry."
"Ow!"
"That. Can it, huh? The boys like to horse around."
"I'm not chicken shit, bastard.
You're son of all farts.
You make me bald, but I'm a chicken shit.
I want to talk about violence. Such a violence. Give me that."
Son.
Just a little bit sad. Yeah, McGrath went down the steps first.
Yeah. Ugh, looks like it's painful.
Yeah. Now Reg has tracked down the owner of the Chiefs at her house. As she has got home from the grocery store, she tells Reg to help with the groceries as they go inside to talk. Reg talks to the team's praises, and she's grateful for being in the black for the first time in 4 years. All due to attendance being quadruple, but she won't make enough money on selling the team. As she has been told that she would be better off taking a loss and letting the team fold. Reggie's beside himself. He says, so you could sell us, but you won't. He says that they're hot right now. Somebody would want us. She tells him that he doesn't understand finance. He says that she's fucked for letting this happen to them and goes to leave. But he stops because he has something to say to her. And it's this.
You know, your son looks like a fag to me. You better get married again because he's going to wind up with somebody's cock in his mouth before he can say Jack Robinson.
How dare you? How dare you?
She's a bitch that owns the team and is, well, I'm just going to fold the team because I'll save more money that way.
Yeah. Fuck all of you guys' lives, basically.
Yeah, I don't care about you.
It's messed up.
That is fucked up.
Next, Reggie goes to Braden's and he tells Braden that the sale is bullshit and he's done with this wrestling bullshit. He says that he wants to win the championship tonight fair and square. And he wants him there with him. He gets no answer and then talks shit as he's leaving. He says that Lily has been staying with him and they've been having a blast. Game time again, and this one's for all the marbles.
This is it. This is the game. This is it.
Reg fesses up to the boys that he's been conning them. There's no more team, but he wants to win this game fair and clean. Old-time hockey. The Hanson's like, he's the coach. Old-time hockey.
Like Eddie
like
Shore.
Eddie Shore.
Eddie Shore. Yeah,
coach,
Eddie Shore.
Our line starts? Sure.
Did you hear that?
Did you hear that? So the Chiefs are going up against the Syracuse Bulldogs at home to a filled-out arena. So the Chiefs do their warm-up and go to the bench, but Syracuse hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, this is a little weird. What's going on here?
Just then, Jim Carr gets handed the announcements for the Bulldogs lineup. He says that Tim Dr. Hook McCracken is back, along with Ross Mad Dog Madison, who, as you know, always travels with his attorney, Sam Small Print Lyman. Here's one for you nostalgia fans. Clarence Screaming Buffalo Swamp Town. He refers to his stick as the Big Tomahawk. And to all the opposing players as the Little Scalps. And also, Ogie Oglethorpe.
I thought he was going to jail.
He should be.
He got... He they sentenced him. They said they found him guilty. What's going on here? And he looks like a menace.
He's got an afro and a deadpan look.
Oh, yeah.
No emotion on his face.
He's here for blood.
He wants to kill and hurt. So the game starts with the Hanson line as they get murdered by Dr. Hook, Ogie, and Screaming Buffalo. They beat the shit out of them as the Chiefs do not fight back. Syracuse is dominating the game as they take a quick 1-0 lead. Back in the locker room, McGrath comes in and tries to get shit going with this talk.
We're losing!
Teamwork, guys. More teamwork.
They're burying us alive!
Eddie Shore?
Oh, piss on Eddie Shore!
Old-time hockey?
Piss on old-time hockey! You're blowing it! Boys! Every scout in the NHL is out there tonight with contracts in their pocket, and they're looking for talent, for winners. Oh, all my years of publicity, all the fashion shows, radio thugs for nothing. They come here tonight to scout the Chiefs, the toughest team in the Federal League. Not this. Bunch of pussies.
Pussies. Pussies. Reg is like scouts as Braden sighs. Scouts. So next period, we get the old Chiefs fighting back and doing all the goon shit as Braden sits on the bench. Then in walks Francine and a newly done up Lily looking great.
She looks very nice.
Real nice. Braden sees this as Lily waves at him to acknowledge him. He then sprints out onto the ice, Braden does, and starts to do a strip tease.
He's finally embraced how absurd this crap is.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever. I'm getting naked.
You guys want to do this shit? I'm going to do this. He takes off all of his equipment in a sexual manner. McCracken is yelling at the ref to make this stop. But it's out of his hands.
It's out of his hands. What do you want him to do about it?
Dr. Hook grabs Ref as the ref tells him to take his hands off him or else they'll forfeit the game. Forfeit? Then Hook punches the ref in the back of the head.
Yes,
the when ref, he isn't looking.
Yeah, he turns around. He gives it the good old sucker punch.
Yeah. Ref says, that's it. You lose. You forfeit.
Yeah.
Ref skates by Reggie and says that you guys win as the ref goes to hand the trophy to Reg. But Braden grabs it and skates the trophy.
He says something around like, get over here, stupid. You guys win.
You guys win. Here's your fucking trophy. There we go. Stop that. Cut to the town having a parade for the team as Reg pleads for Francine to go with him to Minnesota. She drives off to start her new life as Braden and Lily are kissing in the parade car as the credits roll.
Yeah, he's now the coach of some team in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring all my guys with me. It's going to be great. Ayo.
Hey.
And she's like,
I'm the Fonz.
She's like, nah.
Nah, I'm done.
This movie actually ends kind of depressing.
Yeah, it's a sad, sad ending. That's the movie.
This song plays a lot throughout the movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's time for reviews. Rotten Tomatoes has a critic score of 85% and an audience score of 89%. This is a pretty high scoring movie.
Yeah.
And IMDb gives it a 7.2 out of 10. We're going to start off with the positive reviews of Paul Kalin of The New Yorker. What holds the picture together is the warmth supplied by Paul Newman. As Reggie, the player coach of the Chiefs, a minor league ice hockey team, he gives the performance of his life to date.
This one's from Adam Shame, 25. I remember the first time I saw Slapshot. I laughed so hard that I thought I was going to puke. The best thing about this movie is that all the banter between the players, the attitudes, and the jokes are all true. I worked in locker rooms for a minor league hockey team, and I saw every character in this movie. The aging veterans, the eccentric goalie, and the lazy pretty boy. The young player is looking for a chance, etc. It is so true to life and accurate, more so than any other sport-related movie out there. And having all the actors do their own skating is a big plus also. I really can't find a fault with this flick. And for my most favorite part of the movie, no question, it is Mo Wanchuck. I have yet to find a character in any movie that every time he opens his mouth, I go into hysterics, along with Chunk from The Goonies and the dude from The Big Lebowski. Mo is up there towards the top of my list of favorite characters in any movie I have ever seen. Who's Mo?
The guy, the funny part, the guy is Mo. He says, it's not about art, it's about sex, he says.
Oh, the fucking creep?
Yeah. He, the funny thing is, he actually plays a priest in Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit.
That's funny. You just watched that.
Yes, and rest in peace, he's dead.
Oh. All right, he goes, this is it for his long review. You know, you have a classic film when the topic of Slapshot comes up with your friends, or even people you have just met, and you spend hours reciting all your favorite quotes, trying to outdo each other. Do yourself a favor, see this movie, so you can be part of the fun.
Nice. Dan Epstein of the Rolling Stone. Slapshot remains the greatest sports flick of the 1970s.
Okay. What were the other ones?
I can't tell you. I just know what this guy said.
Pure comedy from start to finish by Annie Ann Wu 13. Come on. It's just pure comedy. No breaks. No lull parts. Just funny all the way through with the appropriate cheesy 70s soundtrack. This movie not being in AFI's top 100 comedy films is a travesty. If they won a period piece, this was it. They cited Fast Times, It just stands to reason that Slapshot should fall into the listing. The Hansons deserve special consideration. The casting is perfect.
Wow, that's
okay.
Her laugh word is Jeffrey M. Anderson of Combustible Celluloid. Easily the greatest hockey film ever made. That's it.
Oh, okay. Dave's a mess. So what's your favorite line? Dave's a killer. Dave's a mess. Hey, guys, I got my quarterback. They brought their fucking toys? Yeah, coach, putting on the foil. This movie never gets old. I usually watch it once or twice a year when hockey season is in full swing. This is the classic of all classics, and Hollywood has always tried to copy it and always fails. Slapshot has a great cast, and the cast had a great chemistry, and it started with Paul Newman, a must-see.
Okay. Negative reviews. Gary Arnold of the Washington Post. Newman is literally the diamond in the rough, and it requires a certain forebodance to separate his quality from the surrounding raunch.
Yeah. Simply horrible. Perhaps in the 70s this movie had some appeal, but I cannot think of any good reason anyone would want to watch it now. With thousands of other rentals available, this should be your last choice. I wish I could get the 2 hours I spent watching this movie back. If you have any respect for quality films, please take my advice and pass this one up.
Damn, dude.
He doesn't like it.
He does not like it. Richard Schickle of Time Magazine. Slapshot may have been done a lot of fast skating and some solid body checking, but in the last period it makes a final costly slip and misses its goal.
Yeah. This movie is terrible. Captions, girl, 21. Back in 2002. This movie is so bad. If hockey was actually anywhere near this bad, it would be WWF on ice. This movie is nothing but stupidity, sexism, swearing, and violence. The only thing worse than this movie is Slapshot 2. That I agree with. Don't waste your time watching this. Boring and mind-numbing. Yet the sequels to this movie are fucking atrocious.
Damn.
Yeah.
Roger Moore of Movie Nation. The more time passes, the more this Slapshot seems wide of the net.
My last one. Absolutely awful. Just an awful movie. It's very long and drawn out with a poor climax. Really, one of the stupidest movies I have ever seen. There's no need to get into details as to why, but it's just very stupid. There's not much to it. They must have gone through several cases of fake blood. It was so ridiculous. Glad I didn't see it when I was a kid, and everyone in school was talking about it. Sometimes we romanticize the past, but if this was the type of humor people had, a very simple sense of humor. Paul Newman was 51 at the time and playing an active hockey player. His character was all over the map. I was very unimpressed with him. Looking at this, I'd say he was a very overrated actor. Go fuck yourself.
Oh, Jesus. Fuck yourself so hardcore. Fuck yourself with a cactus. I hate you.
Damn.
Say that to Paul Newman, you fucking asshole.
Yeah, Paul Newman's the shit, dude. All right, let's do some trivia.
I don't know if I can do trivia. I'm still pissed off about someone calling Paul Newman an overrated actor.
I have a good amount of trivia.
I hate that person. Paul Newman? Are you kidding me?
Excuse me?
What is your favorite actor, Jim Carrey? Screw you. I hate you.
Yeah.
I hate you. I don't hate anyone. You, person on the internet, I hate you. Paul Newman has stated on many occasions that he had more fun making this film than any other film he starred in, and it remains his favorite film of his own films until his death.
The person Bob hates is Holograph 5, and the review was done on March 2018.
I hate you. I hope you got COVID.
Jeez.
You obviously don't have a sense of taste in movies, so you can lose all your other senses, you dumbass.
So you want him to be okay? Just fine?
I hope you got the China flu.
Alright, my first piece. Bruce Boudreau, head coach of NHL's Vancouver Canucks at the time, appears in the film wearing number 7 for the Hyannisport Presidents. Boudreau was one of several players for the Johnstown Jets minor league hockey team that were used as extras.
The character of number 7, Clarence Screaming Buffalo Swamp Town, was played by John Nolan, who during a brief minor league career in the 1950s accumulated almost 1,000 penalty minutes in 6 seasons.
Damn.
Including one season with the Johnstown Jets.
Goddamn.
That's a lot of penalty minutes.
That's a ton. The goalie mask worn by goaltender Dennis Lemieux is the same mask worn by then Philadelphia Flyers goalie Bernie Parent.
I met him.
Did you?
Bernie Parent's pretty cool.
Was he nice?
Yeah, he was a nice guy. I was even wearing Devil's gear, and someone was trying to say, hey, when you guys were like really good, Devils didn't exist. You guys were before us.
Yeah.
I have no hate for the Philadelphia Flyers. That's why I told the Flyers fans. None whatsoever.
So you lied?
I hate the Rangers more than I'll ever hate the Philadelphia Flyers.
I hate Philly.
And they're like, all right, can't we just hate the Rangers together? And Bernie was like, all right, that makes sense.
Nice.
The swearing in the film by 1977 standards was considered so foul, advertisements containing an additional warning underneath the R rating. Certain languages may be too strong for children.
Like we did. We gave a warning. According to David Hansing, during a Q&A on his 2008 book tour, much of the Hansen brothers' on-screen antics were unscripted and improvised on the set. For example, the toys in the hotel room were the Carlson's brothers' own, like you said.
Reggie's apartment in this movie is actually the real-life apartment of Bruce Boudreau.
Jeez.
At the time, was playing for the Jonestown Jets.
Nice. The song Right Back Where We Started From by Maxine Nightingale is featured throughout the film, and during the closing credits, the song is traditionally played by the New York Islanders after a home win.
Universal Pictures offered Steve Carlson, Jeff Carlson, and David Hansen the chance to star in their own spinoff, but all three turned it down to return to their professional hockey careers.
Hell yeah. The character, like I stated earlier, Ogie Oglethorpe, was based upon Bill Goldie Goldthorpe, a WHA and NAHL player in the 70s.
Brothers Jack, Jeff Carlson, and Steve Carlson were originally slated to play the Hansen brothers. However, Jack was called up by the Edmonton Oilers shortly before filming began. His part went to another member of the Jonestown Jets, David Hansen, who was supposed to play Dave Killer Carlson. Then Jerry Hauser was hired to play Killer.
He got called up to the Orioles just as they were going to be getting good.
Yeah. Ooh. The Chiefs bus driver was played by Cliff Thompson, who was the bus driver of the Jonestown Jets.
Rod Masters, the uncredited organist in this film, was named the organist for the NHL Seattle Kraken in 2022.
Paul Stewart, at the time an enforcer in the North American Hockey League and later the World Hockey Association, and a longtime NHL referee, has a bit role in this film as a defenseman for the Long Island Ducks. He's behind the net wearing a yellow helmet during the Harahan scene. According to Stewart, he received $500 and a copy of the script autographed by Paul Newman for his appearance.
Nice. You good?
I got one more. Near the end of the film, the radio broadcaster is interviewing one of the Hansen brothers in the locker room, and he refused to the Charleston as the Flood City. Slapshot was filmed in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, home of the 1889 Johnstown Flood. And the year the Slapshot opened in 77, Johnston was flooded for a third time in its history. Its unofficially nickname is the Flood City.
Nice. There you go, that's trivia. Time for R-rated.
The revolution is televised.
Go ahead, Jay.
All right. What I like most about this movie is the old-fashioned hockey on ice camera shots. I love that. I love seeing that shit.
Pretty short.
All time. I was up. And I thought this was well acted. Obviously, Paul Newman crushed his role. He does good in everything. But the ending was like anticlimactic.
It was very anticlimactic.
Do you know what I gave Youngblood?
I have to pull it up real quick.
Yeah, that's fine. This was back when players didn't wear helmets. They didn't wear... There were no visors. Helmets were optional. One guy in the team did have a helmet. So I'm going to give this a 6.5.
You gave Youngblood a 7.
That works. That's perfect. Youngblood is slightly better than this.
So I've watched this movie a couple times. I like it. It's a good movie. The plot's a little bit all over the place at times.
It's everywhere.
It's, you know, first he's trying to find the owner, and then he's trying to get with his ex-wife.
Owns.
Then he's fucking Ralphie's mom. Then he's trying to fuck this guy's wife. And then all trying to get violent people to fight hockey. But the hockey scenes are great.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
Hockey scenes are great. It's a 7.
Okay.
It's a good movie.
We're within half a point of each
other. It's a little bit better than average. Paul Newman crushes it, because Paul Newman is an amazing
actor.
That's
all he does. He can't act a bad role.
No. He's not been in a bad movie, in my opinion.
Have you seen Cool Hand Luke? That movie's amazing.
Yeah, seriously. So, yeah, I'm going to give this movie a 7.
All right, 6.5 from me, 7 from Bob. We recommend it, especially if you're a hockey fan. There you go. Here's our ratings.
So once again, that brings us to the end of our show. So why don't you look us up on our socials? We're at Facebook at Flick Magnet, Instagram at Flick Magnet, and email us your likes, your suggestions, what you thought about this movie, what movies you want us to do. At flickmagnetpod@yahoo.com.
Yeah, there you go. So, this is the last show until Christmas season.
Yeah, we don't come back until 2 weeks
First week in December.
Yeah, so December 1st.
Possibly Bob doing another movie, taking the leads. Maybe.
Maybe, possibly.
But we hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving. Be safe out there. Don't take shit from anybody.
Put on the foil.
Put on the foil. Old time hockey. Kick some ass. Eat a lot of turkey. Smother that shit in gravy.
Are we going to tell them what movie we're doing next?
Stay tuned.
All right.
You ain't driving, are you?
I steer a little, but the reindeer do most of the work.
This is my fourth year as a Santa. How about you?
I started the whole damn thing.
Ho, ho, ho!
It's Christmas!
We decided that you could have one gift.
Early.
What is it?
That is a direct hotline to Santa Claus himself.
I can talk to Santa.
All right, revelers. Welcome to your worst Christmas ever.
Let's go!
You have $300 million in your personal vault. That's what I want for Christmas.
I don't want any trouble, okay?
Someone's gonna scooch up that chimney.
Who is he?
Because he's not your typical mall Santa.
Santa, are you there? Daddy said you were very busy tonight. My name is Trudy Lightstone.
Are you gonna help us, Santa?
Yeah, Trudy.
Santa?
No, my nice list. Santa Claus is coming to town. Time for some season's beatings.
Who the hell are you?
Boss.
What if he really is the real?
There's no such thing as Santa.
Yeah! These bad men, they're all on my naughty list. Naughty.
That's naughty!
And what do you do to the naughty ones?
I give them a lump of coal.
Where is it?
I gotta watch.
Ah! I believe in you, Santa.
Come on. Which one of you did that? Prancer? So unprofessional.
They brought their fucking toys with them.